In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the 13th chapter of St. Luke, and it's the 18th verse. Jesus said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became," some people say, "a bush or a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." So the kingdom of God starts off very small, but it increases in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that today? Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Oh yes, Jesus wants that the earth receive the kingdom so that it would be as in heaven. We have never experienced that. Today I ask you to pray for my friend Michael, who took a stroke. And in the name of Jesus, I pray the power of the kingdom in his life, that you would absorb all the blood clots, and that he would wake up and be filled with joy. In Jesus' name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the will of God. And yet we have never seen that. We have never seen that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. We've had glimpses of it. Oh yes, we have prayed for the sick and they were immediately healed. Oh yes, as it is in heaven. On earth, as it is in heaven. No one's sick in heaven. No one has cancer in heaven. No one took a stroke in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, you and I. It is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the 17th chapter of St. John. That they would be one as I am in thee and thou art in me. That they would be perfectly one in us so that the world might know that you sent me. Oh yes, how we need for the kingdom to burst into the earth in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom is peace and justice in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for the power of the Holy Spirit to enter me in ways that he never has. I pray, God, that the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon people who hear my voice today. The power of the Holy Spirit would come upon people who hear my voice today, that they would be one with Jesus as Jesus is one with the Father. And again, Jesus said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in 3 measures of flour." It was hidden. It starts off hidden. But what happens to the flour? It rises. Oh, how we need the power of the Holy Spirit. How we need that Jesus would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It was mixed with 3 measures of flour until all was leavened. I tell you, we need Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that God would bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, that would be called revival. That would be called real revival. How we need that. You know, we know enough about the earth. Oh yes, we've even traveled to the moon. But what do we know about the kingdom of God? We know about the kingdom of dingdom, but not the kingdom of God. Oh yes, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, verse 22, went through one town and village after another, teaching, and he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Jesus, Lord, will only a few be saved? That's a question. Will only a few be saved? He said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door or the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. And when once the owner of the house has got up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. Then in reply, he will say to you, I do not know where you come from. Where do you come from? I come from the cross. I come from the burial of Jesus. I come from the resurrection of Jesus. I come from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I come from God and the family of God, the church. I come from that experience that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ has given us the kingdom of God. It starts off small, but it multiplies. Then you will begin to say, but Lord, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I do not know where you come from. Where do you come from? I was born through the waters of baptism. As I entered the heart of Jesus Christ, as I entered the side of Jesus Christ, as I entered the death of Jesus Christ, as I entered the burial of Jesus Christ, as I entered the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's where I come from. I come from Jesus. And he will say, go away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrown out. He's speaking to Jewish people. Oh God, manifest your glory to your Jewish people. Let them come to know the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Oh Lord, visit your Jewish people. You tell us in Paul's letter to the Romans that there would be every Jewish person that would be saved during the great revival for the Jews. I need to see that, Lord. I need people who hear me today secretly as Jewish people to know thy kingdom come in them, thy will be done in them on earth as it is in heaven. We take them to the cross and the blood of Jesus takes away all their sin. Oh yes, and he is raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Then people will come from the east and the west, the north and the south. Who are these people? These are Gentiles. They will come from the east and the west, the north and the south, and will eat in the kingdom of God. Indeed, some that are last, the Gentiles, will be first, and some that are first, the Jewish people, will be last. Oh God, touch your Jewish people. You have given me the privilege to be on radio. And they listen to me. Some of them listen to me. I know that. Touch them, oh God. Bring them to the cross. Bring them to the empty tomb where Jesus is risen from the dead. Verse 31, chapter 13. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus said to them, go tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. What happens on the third day? He is crucified. And what happens on the third day after the crucifixion? He is raised. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. I tell you, I heard of my mother's death while I was in Jerusalem, and the only thing I could say as I was at Mount Calvary, no prophet suffers except in Jerusalem. I was saying that of myself. I'm not a prophet like Isaiah, but I am prophetic. God has given me a prophetic gift. I need to use it more. That's what he's telling me. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood? How often have I wanted to take you under my arms? How often have I wanted to take you under my wings the way a hen gathers her brood? But you were not willing. You did not come. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That happened on Palm Sunday. You know, this chapter is very important because it says, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of God. I remember Judy taking her child and to church one day, and this gospel was read, and the priest said, oh, don't listen to the gospel. Everyone here is going to heaven. Judy said to the little boy, block your ears. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Block your ears. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Chapter 14. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. They didn't want him as a guest. They wanted to nail him down. Does he heal on the Sabbath? He breaks the Sabbath law. Oh yes, they were against Jesus. Just then in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not? And guess what? They're going to be silent. But they were silent. Oh yes, they were silent. And their silence speaks very loud. They would not answer Jesus. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, if one of you has a donkey or an ox that has fallen into the well, will you not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day? Is not this man, one of Abraham's children, more important than a donkey, more important than a mule, more important than an ox? And they could not reply to this. They would not. They would not. They kept silent. And I tell you, Jesus heals on the Sabbath because people were sick on the Sabbath, and he did it out of love. Jesus heals out of love. He doesn't heal to prove that he's Jesus, the Son of God. He heals out of love. Do you know that? That he loves you today. Do you know that he's got a plan for you today? Do you know that he has a plan for you, yes, you, today? You say, I'm too old. No, you're not too old unless you're 107. You're not too old. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by the host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place. I'm going to tell you, when I go to a wedding, I don't want to be in the head table. I'd much rather be with the people. You know, they always put me next to the girl that's the flower girl, and she wants ginger ale. And of course, I get it for her. But I don't want to be at the head table. I want to be at the lowest place. Oh yes, at the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
I don't know how anyone, being human, can say that I'm going to exalt myself. We are men at best. Men at best, that's all we are. We are not angels. We are not without sin. Oh yes, we are even with sin, and God calls us to do what? To repent and go to confession.
He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid.
No, don't invite the rich. Don't invite the people who have. Invite the have-nots. Invite the have-nots.
And if you came to our table at Christmas, I would see around the table were all the have-nots, and I was part of them, though I have by the grace of God. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, I did, the crippled, I did, the lame, I did, and the blind, I did.
Oh, Father Tom, you're great now. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Do you understand that? I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It has nothing to do with being great. One person said, you're my hero. I said, oh no, you've got one hero. His name is Jesus.
And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Oh yes. Our repaying will come at the resurrection of the righteous. I tell you, one day Jesus will take every single person buried and every single person whose ashes, and will make them holy like his own body, glorified. Oh yes, he will glorify everybody. I remember going to the cemetery once with the urn of ashes, and the man who buried the urn said, the Lord's going to have a hard time raising this one up. I said to him, I guess you don't know Jesus. Jesus doesn't have a hard time doing anything to people. He will raise this man up and give him a glorified body. And I said, if you ever want to know Jesus, come see me. This is where I live. I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. He kept quiet.
One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then Jesus said to him, someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready.
This is the Jews. This is the Catholics. Are you going to come? Are you going to come?
But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of land and I must go and see it.
But what's more important, going to the banquet where Jesus is or going to the piece of land? You can do that anytime.
Please accept my regrets. Another one will say, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets. And another said, I have just been married and therefore I cannot come. So the slave returned and reported this to his master. And then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, go out at once into the streets and into the lanes, and into the byways and highways and town, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room. Then the master said to the slave, go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.
You've been invited. You've been invited to give your life to Jesus. You've been invited.
You've been invited not only to give your life to Jesus, but that you would live for Jesus. You've been invited.
And what are you doing about it? You say, I don't have time. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read the scriptures. I don't have time to go to Mass during the week. I'm busy. Well, you're busy doing nothing. Spinning your wheels. Spinning your wheels. And you know what gets accomplished when you spin your wheels? Nothing. Oh, it's time for us to open the scriptures. It's time for us to go to Mass during the week. Now, great crowds were traveling with him. Why? They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. And he turned and said to them, whoever comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, his wife and his children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. That doesn't mean we hate them, but as compared to loving Jesus, it would seem like we hate them. Jesus is first. Jesus is first. Whoever does not carry the cross, take up his cross, and follow me, cannot be my disciple. You know what the cross is? Your life. Oh, yeah, everyone has a different cross. Everyone has a different life. I tell you, we need Simon of Cyrene to help us to carry our cross. We need Jesus himself to help us carry our cross, because it gets tiresome, doesn't it? It gets tiresome. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and it is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. I tell you, I want to run the race to the finish, to the last breath that I take. I want to give my life to the finish line, to the last breath that I take, that I would call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. I'm telling you, hold on to your possessions very lightly, with your hands open. Hold on to your possessions very lightly. Oh yes, I remember having a crucifix that had a relic of the true cross, and I loved that crucifix. It gave me great peace. And you know what? The Lord told me to give it to a Jewish convert who became a Catholic. I said, I don't want to do that. He said, if you do it, I'll give you a greater influence with Jewish people. I said, immediately, take my crucifix. Take my crucifix that has part of the wood of the cross in it. And I hope and pray that the Lord has fulfilled that promise, that today Jewish people are listening to me, and they are what? Are saying yes to Jesus. All who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and has not able to finish. Or what king going to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you will become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," she said. "Let it be done unto me according to your word and your will." Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I tell you, hold on to your possessions with open hands. Be generous with what God has given you. And he promises he will open the windows of heaven if we tithe our money, our talent, and our treasure. May God bless you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.